This is Love Seal Church, bearing the tidings of the blessed hope and the glorious liberty of the sons of God. We earnestly pray that you experience a breaking forth in the quantum leap into all the promises of God for you. Gird up the loins of your mind and heart as you obtain mercy to find grace by the word of God coming through God's own servant at this time to you. Be ready for great impartation of the Spirit and life. Happy listening.
And so, Heavenly Father, this morning I come, I humble myself before you, Lord Jesus. You are salvation. You are salvation. And the beautiful thing about your salvation is that your salvation is holistic. You're actually saving us to the uttermost. Father, we thank you for the great provisions that you have for us, your children, even as it pertains to our physical body. Thank you for the great things that you are doing in our lives. Thank you for the words that you are bringing to us. These words are not just only changing our souls. They are also bringing health to our physical bodies. They are also immuning us from sicknesses around. Father, we are grateful to you. And we thank you because you always make bread available in this house to give us strength. Thank you for the words that you keep bringing to us to give health to our body. Father, once again this morning, we present ourselves before you, Lord Jesus. We ask that God, you would give us wisdom. Wisdom that pertains to how to fulfill our own side of the bargain of staying in health. The Lord Almighty, I pray particularly for myself, Lord Jesus, the Lord, you would grant me grace to bring the words as you want me to bring them, to bring the words with life, not with fear, but Lord, with life, laced with life, laced with grace, laced with strength, laced with wisdom, wisdom that comes from above, wisdom for living. Father, Lord, I submit myself under your mighty hands. I also submit myself under the grace in this house, that the same grace that you have placed on your servants, the Lord, I come under such grace to minister to your people, to minister the words, the things that you have prepared in store for your people, to help them to live an healthy life and keep their own bargain of staying in health. Father, we ask the God that by the time we are done this afternoon, the Lord Almighty would have imparted us with strength. You have imparted us with grace. You have equipped us with wisdom. You have equipped us with knowledge. And Lord, with grace to do those things that you have already even spoken to us, even in time past. Father, Lord, our hearts are open to receive from you this morning. Thank you for the grace that is available. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. It's a privilege to be here once again. Thank you for inviting me once again to come share about health to God's people. One of the reasons why you need long life is because of salvation of your soul. If you don't have long life, you might not be able to achieve full salvation of the soul. That's why God has to keep us here long enough so that we have enough time, because to acquire salvation actually takes time. So it takes some time for us to be fully saved in our soul. And so pending that time that we come into full salvation, we need to stay here for a while. And you need this body, you need this healthy suitcase to be in a good condition and to be in a good shape so that you can actually receive all that the Lord has assigned in this season. Sometimes Satan fights dirty. And what I mean about fighting dirty is that it doesn't just fight only your walk with God. It can sometimes even touch bodies as well. And so sometimes you just feel, sometimes you just feel some unnecessary fatigue. You find out that on your body, that you can't even pray, you can't even do certain things. And and sometimes it takes it far beyond even being fatigued and in the terms of inflicting, sicknesses on people. But I believe that in this season, as we hearken to the voice of the Lord knows how to deal with all those things. And, so that is one. Then there's another one, as we're talking about marrow. Some of these chronic diseases, they're not because you're not even healthy. It's not because you're not living healthy, so to say. Some of them are because of genetic loading. What I mean is that family history, so things like hypertension sometimes, things like diabetes, even some mental health problems, they have genetic components that, you know, it's not because you've really done anything. It's just because of what you inherited. You understand? You just inherited it. And before you know it, you are 30-something and you are beginning to have high blood pressure. You might even be living right, but if you check your family, maybe your father, your mom, your uncle, or someone out there, there's just a genetic predisposition. But I believe, not as we are talking, we're talking about the word. So I believe that even as we sit under the economy of the word, in this season, some of those things will be tampered with. Because, you know, when you talk about marrow is where blood is produced. And that's where all the genetic codes are. In fact, currently in science now, the science that is making every illness in science now, where money is being pumped into right now, is genetics. Why? They want to understand the code. Because they know that if we know the code, then we can create a permanent cure. So you see many research now, a lot of thousands, billions of dollars being pumped into many diseases just to look at genetic underpinnings of all those diseases. Probably, if they can find those codes, if they can, you know, detect those things, then they can manipulate medications to target those diseases. Things like dementia, there's a lot of genetic studies going into that. So you see that even the world is going into the source. That's why I believe that this everlasting word, I also believe that it is also going after the marrow. Because sin is not just only surface. Sin is genetic. It is in our marrow. So I believe that as this word, no, there's a kind of word that can deal with sin in the marrow. So I believe that as this word is also coming, I also believe that people also that carry some of these sicknesses that are genetically wired, they would also be addressed. So some of you that are still young, you are hearing this word of salvation. You find out that maybe your parents, maybe they had hypertension, diabetes. By the time you get to those ages, you find out that you won't have it. You won't have it. The reason why you won't have it is because you have heard word. And that word has gone into your marrow. So it has not just only dealt with, you know, we know that diseases of the soul. You say, okay, to become incorruptible, you know, there are certain words that go into those deep crevices. I also believe that those words are going into those deep crevices. They would also be attacking some of these. Also, it's still a genetic coding of sin too, but its expression is just in terms of physical illness. I believe these words also will be attacking those things and rewriting our genes. The word works. So, you know, Pastor, as you're saying, the word really works. As we were talking about the issue of cure, that sometimes cure is not just instantaneous, that cure can actually be a process. Something like that happened to me. I can't remember many years ago now, was it 2019 or 2018? We just finished one powerful message in church. And as we were, everybody was, this message is powerful. I don't know how it happened. I just slipped and I injured my leg, the left leg. And so I went about 3 ligaments tore. I couldn't walk. And after service, it was bad. I couldn't walk. I couldn't do anything. I had to be on walking stick for a while. So that was not even the problem. The problem is that when you sustain such, in fact, sometimes when you break a bone, it can be easier because it would heal. But when it comes to major ligaments and it's here, they don't, because you don't have all those kind of fine surgeries that they do for all these footballers, you don't have them here, so you just leave them to heal normally. So most times after that, later in life, you are predisposed to arthritis. From time to time, your leg will keep swelling up. You keep having pain if you stand up. So after I had that, you know, I would keep having this, they call it flare. I kept having this flare. You know, and I would go to the doctor. They say, "Oh, it's like that. That's how it's going to be. It will keep coming and going." Then, of course, everybody knows that when you grow old, you start having it, predisposes you to arthritis. I remember even going home, I was still using the. I stopped using walking stick, but sometimes the pain started again. I was using walking stick, and my father saw me. But I said, "Ah," he said it in Yoruba. I said, "Ah, she know that when people grow old, they grow old from the leg." that so with this your fault, said better be praying that this is because yes, it's just once you have any injury to your legs in old age, it predisposes to a whole lot of things, especially with mobility and arthritis. So I was just like, no, and of course, having all the medical knowledge, I started thinking, oh my God, is this, and I hate arthritis because I work among older people. So I know how arthritis can be debilitating. But I remember one of those, and I was really praying to God. I really wanted an instantaneous healing. But it did not happen that way. But I remember the Lord gave me a word in Isaiah 52. He said, how beautiful. So each time I go, so then, and I'd like wearing heels. So my doctor told me that, forget it, you can't wear heels again. He told me to go and buy Skechers. I have to be wearing comfort shoes. They have to have memory foam. And you know, I don't know how, then I wear, remember then I wear native, I wear Skechers. I was like, what's the meaning of this? I can't, but it doesn't even go. So I remember those times I was actually a bit worried. Then I remember one of those, and then of course with all the, what kept tormenting me, that you know you grow old for, and of course medically too, once you tear ligaments like that, I will walk, sometimes when I walk I will start having pains, I will have to sit down. Then God gave me word, he said, how beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings. So God said, good, that you should stop saying that you have a good feet. So I started confessing it. I was praying. I didn't see it happen immediately, but over the years I just saw the pain. The pain just, in fact, Pastor just said, I can't remember exactly when it stopped. But you know, that flaring comes around. Maybe you walk for a while, the thing with the joints, the ankle joint will swell up, it will start pain. I just found out that after a while, I stopped experiencing it. So like yesterday, we still had a picnic in church yesterday, and I was dancing, and I danced for almost 2 hours, 15,000 steps. And I got back home, I didn't have any flare. I didn't have any pain. So just thinking about it, that the word actually works. So you might not see it, like you said, sometimes the healing is not like instantaneous. You just see it over, you just stay on the word. You believe it and you keep hearing other words. As they are coming, you just see that healing process will just take place. And then, like Pastor said, that second level of cure, you become whole. So personally, I can say that my leg has become whole. So I just want to encourage our heart. So maybe you have a particular disease you are battling with, and you know you have believed God. God has given you a word. You are believing God. You are hearing the word. And it looks as if the thing looks recalcitrant. Don't lose hope. Just stay under the word. Do whatever word God has given you for that healing. You hold on to that word. You just keep open, and as you stay under the economy of the world, generally you will see that complete healing will come. It's another one that I've been believing God now. You know, people talk about perimenopausal and menopausal symptoms. So currently I'm also looking towards 50. So you see people have different kind of experiences, perimenopausal symptoms, menopausal symptoms. And some people, it can be really bad, you know. So I've really been believing God for, what I'm waiting for is just the exact word. You're just like that fit that God gave me a word that is particular. I said, for this particular symptom, this particular stage, I'm already looking, I have it, I'm saying under the word, and I believe that it won't be the way other people have it. But I'm also waiting for a specific word that I would hold on to, and all those things. You see people as in debilitating. They're just down, you know, it wrecks people's mood, wrecks your leg, wrecks your skin, wrecks your libido, wrecks your even ability to concentrate, to be able to retain things. It's one thing I'm also believing God for. We said, as believers, we cannot be experiencing the same thing other people out there are experiencing. I say, I'm really believing God. I already have some symptoms that if you look at people, you say, are you sure that it is not perimenopausal symptom? I would say, no. I refuse to believe that is it. I think it is something. Because I don't just want to come into agreement with that thing. We are believers, though. And apart from believing God for our eternal salvation, we must also believe God concerning everything he has said concerning our health. So I just want to encourage someone here this morning, maybe there's a health issue you are battling with that it looks as if the whole process looks slow, looks whatever. Don't give up. Tell your neighbor, say, don't give up. just stay under what? The economy of the world. What did I say? Just stay under the economy of the world and you will see it work. You will see it bring total healing, complete healing, awesome healing at the end of the game. So let's quickly go to some of these slides with us. And we're looking at healthy living. And it's actually a good time to even do this so that we can, you know, most people, you have things that you want for next year, things you are believing God for, aspirations, things you want God to do for you. So I also think that it's something good also to set healthy goals, you know, for ourselves. It's good to set healthy goals. So it's happening at a good time so that you can prepare for next year and make decisions, you know, things that you decide, okay, I'm not going this way next year. This is the route I'm taking concerning my health next year. So God has plans for us concerning our health. And we can see all spread throughout the scriptures. We see that God wants his people to be what? In good health. And good health is not just only in our soul. God healing the disease of our soul. God also wants our body to be in health. He wants our mind to be what? In health. So you will see it in 1 Thessalonians, like we see. Say, beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest what? Prosper. And what? Be in health. Even as what? Thy soul prospereth. So that's why I believe that this word that is targeted towards us achieving the salvation of our souls, this same word also can give healing to the body. It is not exclusive. What did I say? So you will see it in that scripture that I said, I want you to be in health, even as your soul what? Prospereth. So it is God's desire that as our soul, as we are experiencing salvation of our soul, we also experience health in our bodies. Say amen. Amen. And you see Exodus 23:25, in which the Lord, concerning the children of Israel, that was the first church in the wilderness, you see that God said, and ye shall serve the Lord your God, and he shall bless what? Thy bread, and what? Thy water. And what will happen? I will take sickness away from the midst of what? Of thee. Pastor, you see there was a time in our house, when my children, when they were raising up, when we write lists for, when we want to go shopping, our monthly list, antibiotics used to be there. As in, I mean, antibiotics, we buy Augmentin, we buy anti-malaria. It was like because we always need it. Even if you want to say, you don't want to write it by faith, by the time it happens, we still go and buy, you know, respiratory tract infection, malaria and all that. But Pastor, all of a sudden, I just noticed that a time just came that thing stopped. It was like a blessing. Many of you know, sometimes some of you are complaining, oh, I don't have money. I don't have a good job. I don't have this. I don't have that. I tell people, I said, don't even go to the place where you now have a physical illness. And then that's when you will thank God and say, even without not having enough money in my pocket, being in good health. Hey! What did I say? Being in good health is something to thank God for. In the hospital, you go to the hospital in one day, you can spend ₦1 million on just investigations alone. Not even yet discovering what the problem is. So you have not even said, okay, this is where the problem is. I said, how much are they doing analysis now? That's even in, you say that is federal teacher said analysis is 1,000. I said 1,000. That is that we used to do ₦50, ₦100. So just for ordinary analysis with urine stick. ₦1,000, I said, because all investigations have gone up. So you can imagine when you are in good health, don't even be complaining. You are saying, oh, I don't have enough money, I don't have this. Health, being in health, that you don't have to keep going to the hospital, you don't have to keep being on a medication. Oh, my, that is God's blessing. Now, I see some people, the amount they spend on medications in a month, hypertensive, diabetic, they're almost spending about almost $200,000, $250 in a month. I'm like, what? And when I suggest it, I'm complaining. I say, God, thank you. Thank you. Removing this every month. And they'll still be thanking that they're spending that money. They're still thanking God. Doctor, my bad. Blood pressure, control this thing. Blood sugar is not controlled, though. Thank God. Let me thank God, though.
despite spending that much, they are still thankful. I just say, God, I thank you. Thank you for health. So like I was saying, so there was a time that antibiotics, augmenting, they sleep under the net. I don't believe children should not sleep under the net. Even if they will cry their lungs out. We will flit, yet they will still have malaria. They will have upper respiratory tract infection. I think it was a monthly thing. All of a sudden, I just saw God remove that thing. Because that thing was something that was like a devourer. You keep spending money every month on antibiotics and anti-malaria. So this scripture is actually real. It said, and ye shall serve the Lord your God. And he shall do what? Bless thy bread and thy water. And I will take away what? Sickness away. So when sickness is taken away from you, it is blessing. So see the blessing. He said, I will bless. So the blessing, what did the blessing do? The blessing actually took away what? Sickness. So being in health is what? A blessing. So blessing shows that God actually wants us to be in health. As we are serving the Lord, one of the benefits of serving God, I'm not even saying serving God, you know, even in normal things, you are serving God in the Lord's house. I'm even talking about even activities. It is part of the blessing. I remember my mommy would say that, Mio, I'm not going to come down with this. Then going because you grew up in sin, I'm not going to have this. Because that's why she's serving the Lord. I know that serving the Lord was not even the way we know it. It was in the time that she would serve our pastors, she would serve the brethren, she would do things in church, and she just believed. This scripture, she held us, that I'm serving God. None of those sicknesses will come near me. And really, she's going to be 18 in February. She's not hypertensive. She's not diabetic. She has nothing. Not even arthritis. Say God's word works. So we need to be aware of this. So God's desire for us is actually to be what? To be in health. It is part of God's blessings for you as someone what? Serving the Lord. So we all know that it's God's desire that we should be in health. So what is healthy living? Healthy living is actually making daily choices that support our physical, mental, and emotional world well-being. And why is this important? You will see that God has a covenant with us, covenant of health for his people. However, even though he had that in the first church in the wilderness, we saw that, even though he had that promise to them, but you see that it was not without terms and conditions. So even despite the fact that God promised he was going to take away sicknesses from them, he wasn't going to allow all the, that if they diligently hearken to his voice, that he would not allow, and you see, he said, and I will do that which is right inside, and I will give, if you give ear to his commandments and keep all his statutes, he said, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians. And you see that part of the statutes that the Lord gave them had something to do with what they had, how they lived. So we had the 10 main commandments, but apart from those commandments, there were other statutes that the Lord gave them on how to live. God was so particular about this. There are things God told them not to eat. Things like pork. So even naturally, something like pork takes about almost 3 to 6 days to digest in your system. Yes. So it's not something you should be eating. Pork ribs. Those of you that like pork. Pork ribs in honey. That thing is really, it looks very tasty. That thing is death. So God, you see some of those instructions that the Lord gave them concerning feeding. They were actually linked to their health. The type of fishes that God told them to eat, they were fish with scales, which are the most healthy kind of fish that you should be eating, even scientifically. So please, you see that God is very wise. So those commandments were not just abstract commandments. That covenant of health was not just something abstract. Okay, I will just serve me and do this. You will be in health. No, God gave them all that principles that will guide them so that they would actually be in health. So even though God had promised that they will be in health, if they don't keep their own side of the bargain, they will not be in health. So that's why I believe God is bringing that wisdom to us. That even though God wants us to be in health, we must know our own side of the bargain of how to stay what? Healthy. Which is healthy what? Living. So it is you keeping your own side, what, of the bargain. So if God says, oh, I'm going to take sicknesses from me, not the sickness of Egyptians, maybe in your family you have history of diabetes, and then you're not keeping your own side of the bargain. You're saying, God has said he will take away it, I will not have diabetes, and you're drinking Coke, you're drinking Fanta, you are eating semo, you are eating all those processed things. I now say that God is going to keep his armor. You are going to have it. Because already you have been predetermined to have it. It is God that wants to show you mercy. So it's like somebody that the Yoruba will say, somebody that they want to burn, that is now using petrol to rub himself. No, it makes it very easy to do what? To burn. It also like my mother-in-law, in their family, every one of them, they are diabetic. Diabetic and hypertensive. But she doesn't have. She's 75 or thereabout. She doesn't have. What did she do? She was a nurse. So she knew that everybody, even is. So what did she do? My what managed to say that when, as long as she could ever remember that but her mom does not take sugar. That a certain food she doesn't eat. That is like a taboo. She will never go near those things. And also when I got my child, I saw her every time. You see her checking her blood sugar. It was like a routine. She kept checking and checking. If she noticed anything, the first thing she would go after is, what is my blood sugar reading? Once she noticed that it is a little bit elevated, a bit like this, you will see her. She will check. She doesn't take all these normal rice. She takes whole grain rice, hasn't, because she's actually fighting that thing. She used to confess. So she goes to Latin and she believes, but she also took radical steps to ensure that those things also don't happen. I have someone now that in their family, the dad died of hypertension. They have hypertension running in their family. And I would always say, this is your weight, these things that you are doing, the kind of lifestyle you are adopting will make you predisposed to having that same thing. And currently, she's less than 40. She's struggling with her blood pressure. So there are times that for us to be in health, God wants us to keep our own side of the bargain. Tell neighbor, say, keep your own side of the bargain. And that has to do with what? Healthy living. So we have to make daily choices, things about our nutrition, our physical activities, sleep, social connections, our mental health. Those are some of the things that we really need to do. So let's look at the things we need to do and lifestyle changes to ensure healthy living. So, say vegetables. You remember Daniel? When Daniel wanted to be better than the Babylonian guys, he changed. What he needed to do was to do what? Changed his diet. When they were to convert them, apart from teaching them the tongue and the language and all that, one of the things that the king did was to give them portions of food. So, I tell the people that food is actually drug. So imagine he wants to change them to become, they were Israelite guys. He wanted to change them, you know, to become like them. They had to, apart from language, they had to give them king's portion. And for Daniel to tap into something different, he had to refuse, you know, that particular portion. And the portion that was prescribed to him, for him to come into that wisdom, was legumes and pulses. So you see, it was not pork meat. It was not red meat. So you must love vegetables. Say, love vegetables.
Love vegetables.
You must love vegetables. Vegetables, as in healthy living. Vegetables, fruits. Those are some of the things that we must incorporate into our diets. Nothing stops you from eating all your meals with vegetables. I remember going to Kaduna to serve, and when they give you bread in the morning, what they give you to eat that bread is actually salad. A whole bowl of salad like this. They'll just give it to you. They'll say that. I said, that was the first time I knew that you can eat salad with bread. So even when they give you boiled egg, they expect you that you should put the salad in the bread and put the egg. That salad is part of the things you should eat. It was very common. There, all this cucumber, all these things. So you will see them fresh, especially the helots, you see them, they take a whole lot of vegetables. So in 2026, one of the things I want us to adopt is having vegetables, what, in our diets. It should not be a luxury. It should not be
once in a while thing. It should be something that we do what? We adopt. Like an everyday. So if you're not taking vegetables, you are taking fruits. So about diet. So the next thing is our sleep. So it is said that for you to function well, the minimum amount of sleep that you need in a day, both night and day, put together, minimum of what? 6 hours. It's 6 hours. You know, and I want to say the pastor, you know that currently we have a whole lot, and it's been a whole lot of concern to me. You know, we have a lot of people doing online jobs now that affects sleep pattern. So you are active in the night because of the time. Maybe you are working with your employees in the US, you know, and all that. So you see it affects your sleeping pattern. There's something they call circadian rhythm disruption. So what it means is that the normal body, the way God created the body, there is a biological clock. The biological clock that keeps you awake during the day and makes you sleep in the night. So once you begin to, people that do shift work, that you understand shift work, they are more, you are what he's saying, that you are altering the normal biological clock that the Lord has set in your body. Am I saying you should not do those jobs? No. But what I'm saying is that you should not all do that in the night. And then during the day, you are not doing Netflix or doing something else. You must ensure that just as you have adjusted, maybe you are all awake during the night, you must have a particular set time during the day. You set your body to actually sleep. You set your body to do well. So I tell people that are doing all this, make sure that you have times during the day that are specified for what? Sleeping. You cannot cheat the body. It is a biological clock that the Lord has put there. So it's something we must work towards. Six, at least minimum of what? 6 hours. You don't have to sleep everything at a stretch. Both during, but in 24 hours, you should have at least 6 hours of rest. What does sleep does? In fact, the neurons in the brain, they found out that during the process of sleeping, there is an hormone that is secreted. It is called growth hormone. So that growth hormone allows new neuron cells to regenerate, to grow again. It also helps to, growth hormone also helps to reduce the activity of cortisol in the body, which is a stress hormone. So that's why when you're not sleeping enough, you have a whole lot of cortisol in your body. There'll be inflammation. It affects your mood, your memory. You also need that growth hormone also for the memory part. There's a part in the brain that works in terms of memory, establish to consolidate the things that you have stored. Once you don't sleep well, that's why some people are very forgetful. That memory pathway is not what? Consolidated. So you see some people that are very absent-minded. So it could be part of the reasons. You need to really need to pay attention to some of, like I said, it doesn't have to be in the night alone. If you're not having six, maybe you can't have 6 hours in the night. Make sure that sometimes during the day, at least try and compensate. Are you following me? So then the third one, culture, cordial relationships. It's part of healthy living. When you are living with peace with men, you will see it translate into health in your body. But if you're always fighting, you are cantankerous, you find out that you will keep, even if you're not having the one that has to do with your body, your mind will not be at peace. So culturing cordial relationships also goes a long way to ensure that we are what? We are in health. Amen. Then, of course, we must set realistic goals. You know, the world is moving very fast. People have goals. Like this 2020 that is coming like this. Yes, you must hammer. But set what? Realistic goals. When people don't set realistic goals and pursuits, it brings you into unnecessary anxiety. And it is not a good state of health. Then the next thing that is to do routine medical checkup. Checking your blood pressure regularly, your blood sugar, your lipid profile,
For I say for men that are 40 years and above, at least you should do PSA, maybe once in a year. That's the prostate. You should check the health of your prostate. Once you are 45 years and above, at least once a year, you just check, just do the PSA. Once you are 50 years and above, you should do it routinely, maybe every 6 months. You just check the health of your prostate. Then for women, once you are, people say 35 years and above, 40 years above, you do pap smear, like yearly. And then for females generally, you should do breast examination monthly. Just checking for breast lumps. It is very important. What did I say? It is very important. Because some of these things, some people, before they eventually come down with breast cancer, they would have started with maybe benign breast lumps, and they didn't peak for years. Some even pick it, they just feel, I didn't know what it was. I thought it was just ovulation. I thought it was just this. It's always like that. And I just thought, maybe that's just the way I am. Make sure that you do regular. And if your friends don't know what they're supposed to check, we have medical people around. We should make it a routine of doing what? Breast examination. Because breast cancer is, you know, which day was I said, the way at which cancer is so rampant now, you know that death is on rampage. It's not that souls of men are becoming perilous. The way the souls of men are becoming perilous is also depreciating the human body. So you have some of these things, and we just know that our parents didn't have so much, we didn't have all these kind of so much cancers like this during our parents' time. Young people coming down with cancers, it is the depreciation of the soul that is general, that is also causing some of these things to be in the hair, and it is also affecting the body. So doing routine breast examination is very important. And we also teach them, because you're supposed to be doing it every month. You can self-examine yourself. So you can get the medical personnel in the house to teach sisters on how to do breast examination. So once they notice anything, you just talk about, you see your doctor and all that. So I think it's something that we need to put a structure on, teaching our sisters how to do breast examination. And then maybe once in 6 months, we also do it generally for our sisters. Then, of course, physical exercises. Say physical exercises. Say physical exercises profited little. See that little? That little is not little in the sense that it is little in comparison to spiritual exercises. So that little still has a benefit. The reason why they consider it little is because when you consider it to spiritual sense, of course, anything here compared to anything spiritual is going to be nothing. But it doesn't mean that it is not useful. Do you get my logic? So that physical anxiety profited, that even the Bible says physical anxiety profited, it is in comparison to spiritual things. And there is nothing physical here when we compare it to spiritual things, that is what? Nothing. Money compared to spiritual, is it not nothing? Don't you work to get plenty money? So we don't say that money is nothing. Money is to spirituality. It is, yes, when we compare monetary things to spirituality, it will always be little. But it doesn't mean that we don't need it. So the same thing with spirituality. So when people say, oh, physical exercises profited little, that profiting little is compared to spiritual things, the profit that we gain from spiritual. It will always, anything physical will always be incomparable to things of spiritual value. But it doesn't mean that in this realm of life that we don't need it. So physical exercises are very important. And let me tell you one thing physical exercises does. When you exercise physically, there is an hormone that is secreted. That hormone is called endorphin. Say endorphin. Endorphin. That hormone is called pleasure hormone. Those are some of the hormones that are secreted. For some people that have addiction problem, those are some of the hormones that are stimulated when they take substance, and then also during sexual intercourse too. When people climax, those are some of the hormones that are released that make you have pleasure. So it is a pleasure hormone. So it has been found out that when you do physical exercise, some form of these hormones are also released. That's why for those of you that exercise, you will notice that when you wake up in the morning to go for exercise, it will be like, no. But once you motivate yourself and you start, it will be as if a bout of energy comes in. That is endorphin at work. So you wake up in the morning, you don't feel like doing anything. Then you go to the gym or you do exercise, you come back, you see that you are ready to take the day. Why? It is endorphin word at work. So it stimulates, so it activates you, it is stimulating, it is a pleasure hormone. This 2026, we must put structure. I know that we are in Lagos, it might be difficult for us to really do, like, go to gym and all that. But you see, you can always work around it in your homes. If you can afford treadmill, buy treadmill in your house. Just 30 minutes of treadmill every other day, it's enough. At least 30 minutes of treadmill. If I not afford treadmill, get dumbbells. Get all these weights for guys. Even me, I carry weights now. So get weights, carry all these weights. Then all these kettlebells, you know, all these things, get them. You can just start gradually, just buying them different weights over time. When you do 30 minutes in a day, that one will... No, because may I not say I don't have time. When I get back from work, when you get back from work, you hit, you just do 30 minutes. You lift, you do 100 lifts, 50 lifts, you do some dumbbells, you know, you are fine. 30 minutes, you are good. You can start like that. Then gradually, you can give an excuse that I know that we are very busy, but I'm just telling you that. Then sometimes you can get, for guys, you can get punching boxes. Yes. I also have a punch box that me and my husband, we do. So get punching because you know, no, really, we are very busy. So sometimes it's difficult to go to the gym. And if you keep doing that, you will keep giving excuses and you will not do anything. So you can get some, you have punch boxes, you hang it somewhere in your house. You just do, my husband does 3,000. I do 1,500. So you do like every other day or maybe twice a week. It doesn't have to be every day, maybe twice a week. You just do it. By doing that, there's a level of exercise. What I'm just trying to say is that look for what works for you, but don't give an excuse that you are busy. So you might not be able, some people might have enough time to go to the gym. If you have enough time, register. I will say register in a gym. It gives you more discipline because you know that you have paid. I don't want your money to do work, to burn. Yes. So if you have time, sincerely, people that have time, they should register in. And I know gyms are almost everywhere. Register in a gym. If you have time, register in a gym. At least start with that. It gives you a level of discipline. But if you don't have time, get some of these dumbbells, these kettlebells, get them in the house, do them 30 minutes in a day, skipping rope, you know, just get them. And let me say something. Exercise can actually be very discouraging. I must be very sincere with you. It takes a whole lot of discipline and motivation. So that's why if you are in a household, it is better if you all buy into it. Because there are days that one person will not want to do, but the other person will want to do. So you will motivate the person, you drag the person, yeah, let's do. For household, for brethren that are living together, if you can have structures, you know, that would help with that to encourage people. You know, because people get discouraged. Even times I don't feel like doing anything, my husband would encourage me. And at that time, my husband doesn't feel like doing anything. I say, we have to do exercise. So it's always good when you're not the only one. When we have people doing it together, you know. But it's something that in 2026 that we must do what? We must adopt. Tell neighbor, say we must adopt it. So, and then we should avoid some unnecessary habits. Things like using unprescribed drugs. You're just going to the pharmacy to buy drugs. For example, there are some antibiotics now that are resistant. You use them, you're not going to get better. So you should not, so don't just be in an attitude of just going to buy drugs. I know it's very common now. People just go and buy unprescribed medications. Then caffeine. Then sugar. You see, it's in red. Sugar is a sweet poison. So if this year, so when you're making your 2026 health resolution, maybe this year you should take 4 cubes of sugar. I know I cannot say you should stop fully. Reduce it to at least 2 in 2026. As what I'm saying is that you should cut down on sugar. Sincerely, sugar is a sweet poison. You see, Pastor Kenneth Copeland calls it devil. He calls it devil. Because if you know what sugar does, so it's something that you might know. It's some of us are very sweet. So not like me, so I have a very sweet mouth. But you just have to look at the repercussion and begin to cut it down drastically. God will help us. Your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. Don't destroy it by feeding it with what? Harmful substances. So, when you want to eat, look at that food. You know, it was Pastor Precious that said it during sisters' meeting. I've never seen that. He said, the Lord shall bless your bread and your water. What God is going to bless is bread and water. Those are things that God, there are things that God considers as bread and water, that are food. There are some things that God does not consider as food. Indomie is not bread and water. So, if it is every day, Indomie shawarma. Double hot dog. Double that. Most of people don't even want to buy shawarma. They say double hot dog. That's what it is. What? Double that. Yes, because really, sincerely, hot dog is carcinogenic. Highly carcinogenic. Highly prone to causing cancer. So, you can't tell me that you're eating that one. And you said, the Lord shall bless my water, my bread and my water. And don't come and say that, maybe it is bread. Because I'm still going to white bread, though. The bread that God is talking about in this Exodus is not this kind of bread that we are eating now. It's not the kind of bread, not just this kind of bread that we eat now. Those are how you dress like this. Let me quickly calculate. Somebody said, well, you want to know a good bread that has just been freshly baked. So when you put it on the table, it doesn't stand well. You should do like this. That's not the kind of bread they are talking here. Yes, yes. In those days, when they make bread, they make it from whole wheat. The wheat is not refined. With all the husks, that is how they do their bread then. It is whole wheat. You see, and when we went to US and they bought something like that, for the thing does not have any taste. It is shakpala, as in shakpala in the mouth. Nothing. That was the bread then. The whole bread that we do now is from refined flour. All the good things that is supposed to do the body good has been taken away. You see that flour? Also, you say that another devil is flour, white flour. Because everything that is nutritious has been taken away. What is left there is just shafts. Nothing. So when you say Shebi is bread, it's not this kind of bread, though. It's not this bread that they're talking in Exodus. It's not the refined one with bromate. No, that, you know, all those bread that you would see and the thing will draw. Ask me what is making it to draw. Bromate. It is bromate that is making those bread to do what? So just, I like that bread. What to share far with beans. You just draw it like this. Bread, you just draw the tea. Say that. It is bromate. And bromate is unhealthy. Bromate has no good. In fact, it is toxic to the body. Yes. So if you see all this, all grain bread, they don't draw. They just stay like that. When you cut it, the thing will break like biscuits. It doesn't draw. So those are the kind of bread that they are doing what? So when they said, the Lord will bread your bread and your water, and it is not Pharaoh's. It is not coke. It is a water. It is not Pharaoh's. It is not Chapman. Those are not the things said. So you must ask yourself, what you are eating, is it real bread and water? Or is it poison? So what the Lord is going to bless, it is what is food, as the way God recommends it. Amen. Amen. So that is what God is going to bless, and He will do and take away sickness from. So when we sit at the table and want to eat, we must ask ourselves. And so for those that prepare meals at home, ask yourself, is this food,
what I've prepared, is it food or poison? So let's say we had picnic in the house and then they prepared the egusi. By the time they now brought the remaining one to the house, you know this takeaway, this big takeaway, we filled a whole plate of oil alone. I said, when I saw it, I said, hey, I can't remember the last time I saw that kind of oil. I said, who prepared this? The oil was swimming. I know some of us, that's what we like. If you don't see oil swimming, that is not food. That is not bread and water that God will bless. That is death. So let me tell you, let me shock you. When you cook stew, when you cook it, we shouldn't be able to use spoon to gather oil. Yes. Yes. I'm not saying you should not use oil. But one way you know that the oil, you have not added too much oil, is that you shouldn't be able to be gathering oil on top of it. And you know, it's just a mindset. When Oyibos, when they cook their soup, they don't use oil. It's just pure, you just see the thing, just pure, maybe tomato and whatever. And it's just that, it's our mindset that have already told us that, for it to be soup, oil. You fry egg like this. When you not finish eating the egg, you still see oil in the plates. That's not bread and water, my brother. So there are so many cooking practices that to stay in health that we must change. And we will get there. When you see risk factors for hypertension, hypercholesterolemia, plenty of oil are some of the things that will cause lipids to block your vessels. But let me tell you what oil does. When you take too much oil, you see in your body there are many vessels, blood vessels in your body. So just imagine the plumbing work in your house, pipe. So we have plenty different pipes in our body taking blood, some taking blood to the heart, and then some taking them back. So when you take too much oil, what happens is that this oil, some of these bad oils, they will now form some things. Then they will line those blood vessels, the wall of your blood vessels. You know that they all have lumen, their width. So they'll keep lining it round and round and round like that. They will combine with some other things because of inflammation. So that's one of the things bread also does. White flour increases a lot of inflammation in the body. So there are certain things they will all combine together. They will form what you call plaques in your blood vessels. They will line it. So gradually they would be reducing the size of those vessels like pipe. So I know that it is the heart that is working. There's a size that God has created those things to be. So once they pump easily. They don't have to do too much work. But once the lumen is lined, it used to be very flexible. Not just only that it will reduce the lumen, your blood vessels, even with age, they're not as flexible like before. So they can't expand like before. So because they cannot expand to push blood, your heart will have to do more work to still force the blood. That's why people sometimes develop hypertension. Because the heart is working more than it ought to. So that's what some of the things, lipids, when you take too much oil, that's what it does to your blood vessel. So when I say don't use too much oil for your blood, you are just helping your heart. So it's good to know this thing. Because once you are sacrificing the oil, you don't know what you are sacrificing for. You are sacrificing it for a good heart. So let's set healthy goals for 2026. Healthy meals, exercise, walking. So sometimes if you have time, maybe if you're not yet, sometimes you can even drop your car. You want to go and greet a family friend and it's not far. You can walk. Many of us, we live in clusters. So instead of taking your car, you can just make it as a walk and you walk down. Or maybe you are going somewhere, you can take a taxi halfway and you drop and you walk a little bit. Just that's why if you see civilized country, you cannot come down from a bus and enter into where you are going. They design their environment in such a way that you must walk. Where the bus will drop you to your house, you will still have to do what? Walk a distance. God will help us. Are we seeing the side of our own bargain? So, I'll quickly talk about mental health and why is it important. You cannot talk about being healthy
without talking about our mental health. Mental health problems are actually very common. According to WHO, 1 in 8 persons has a mental health issue. So if you put 8 people down, at least 1 person. Ben, yes. Has mental health issue. The reason why you are, the reason why you are reacting this way is because of what you think, what you perceive as mental health. Many times when you have mental health, what you're thinking of is that mad person or that woman walking on the road. That's just 1% of different kind of mental health problems that we have. Yes, those ones are just fragrance. There are people with schizophrenia. That's just 1%. There's several mental health disorders. Insomnia, difficulty sleeping is a mental health disorder. Some people have eating disorder. They binge eat is a mental health disorder. Some people are going to talk about anxiety. Some people have social phobia. They cannot stand publicly and talk to people. They'll be afraid. It's a mental health disorder. Yes. Hyperactivity. Some people are always active. They have attention deficits. It's a mental health disorder. What I'm not trying to say is that many times we don't even know what are mental health problems. The only mental health problem we all know is what everybody calls worry. And that's just only, sincerely, that's just only 1% of the mental disorders that we have. Some people have personality disorder. They are narcissistic. It's a mental health problem. Some people are always pessimistic, always depressed mood. It is a mental health problem. So mental health disorders it's a spectrum. So when you have mental disorder, don't just think about, that madman working on, that's just 1%. There are different shades and different types. Amen. So why do we need to talk about mental health? We need to combat the notion that mental health and faith are at odds. So whether someone is seeking help in the face of mental health crisis, trying to build their psychological wellness, or navigating their lifelong journey of recovery, faith still has a major role to play in shaping people's health and what? Well-being. Talking about it doesn't mean that we don't have faith. It's not a lack of faith. In fact, faith is central. Pastor said this morning, healing, recovery, being awesome, faith is still very central. But that doesn't mean that we shouldn't highlight some of these things so that they can be easily what? Identified. We see that many people don't want to talk about mental health. My brain and my heart are really important to me. I don't know why I wouldn't seek help to have those things to be as healthy as my teeth. So for them, it's when we have teeth problems, we go to the dentist. So why shouldn't I go to a shrink? So they call a mental health physician a shrink. So people can easily, when people have problems with their heart, with their teeth, they seek physicians. But then when they have mental health issues, they don't want to. Because of stigma. So why shouldn't? If you have problem with teeth, you can go and see a dentist, a doctor. Why can't you if you're having mental health problems? Can a Christian suffer from mental health conditions? Yes, sometimes Christians can do. Like I explained, some of them are based on the environment, can be genetically predisposed to such things if there's a family history. And sometimes some of the environmental factors, how you grow up, and all of that could also contribute to your mental health. Then certain extreme religious teachings and practices as well. And the truth is that the enemy wages war through ignorance. So many times as believers, we are not even aware. Somebody in our church having depression, and people did not even know that it was depression. And the guy was like that for a long time. Well, maybe several months after when they took him home and somebody was just narrating. I said, all these things are narrating. He said he was not growing spiritually. They were encouraging. He would say he's still not growing spiritually. After a while, he would not have his bath. He's a fine boy. He was no longer paying attention to his physical well-being. You know, he would not, his work, he wasn't doing well at work. They kept complaining. You know, he would just want to stay at home all day. He was always down. And when you asked him, he said, I'm not growing spiritually. I'm not changing.
changing. You know, he wasn't sleeping well. Sometimes they would see him at the junction just wearing slippers and he would be staring. And he said, doesn't understand his life. He's not at peace. No, it had a little bit of spiritual taint. So, and he was like that for a long time. And pastors kept going, encouraging. They didn't know it was depression. So just one of the days, I was just asking after him, but somebody just mentioned that he has gone no more. That in fact, they wanted to tell me that they took him to Haru. I said, what happened? He said, what happened? They now gave me the load. I said, that's depression now. That is his clear cut depression. And he was like that for months. So what I'm saying is that many times, the devil cheats us, you know, by making us ignorant. So that's why we're talking about some of these things. Because sometimes when you are ignorant, you don't even know exactly what is happening. So we've talked about reasons why people suffer from mental health issues. They could be genetic factors, then environmental. So let's quickly look at anxiety disorders. So how does it present? Most times, persistent worry, fear or nervousness, and it interferes with daily life. So you see that it is usually more intense, long-lasting than normal. I know that sometimes you're anxious, maybe you have an interview, you're just a little bit anxious, you have a presentation, you have something, just a little bit anxious. But once it becomes very intense, and then it is prolonged, it's happening consistently and for a prolonged period of time, then it can be an anxiety disorder. Next slide. So what are the common signs? Excessive worry. So you see, but you're always worried and worried and worried. Restlessness, difficulty sleeping, you can't concentrate. You can hear your heart beating all the time. The shortness of breath, sometimes it's as if you want to get choked, you can't breathe in very well. So we have different types of anxiety. We have the generalized anxiety disorder. That one is just free. So you have some people, they're always worrying. They can worry for Africa. There's nothing they don't worry about. We call it free-floating worrying. Everything can just get them worried. Free-floating worry. That's the term we use for it. Free-floating. It's just like that. They're always worried about, as they're moving from one thing, they're worried about, it's just they're always worried about everything. They're not worried about gas. They're worried about their children. Everything work. It's just always just laden with worry. So sometimes it's like that. That person might really need a medical attention. You know, to really take medications can be a mental disorder. So then we have panic disorder. Some people that all of a sudden, they just can't breathe. They get to a place, they're anxious, and then it's as if they really want to get suffocated. And it's usually very dramatic. So you see some people, they have that. It's actually, there's actually a treatment for that as well. Then we have specific phobia. Some people fear heights. So you see now, that mental illness is common. So some people, when they are in heights like this, you see them, anxiety, they are shaking. No difference. People have different, some people water. They can't know. So there are some specific phobias. Then we have separation anxiety disorders. Yes, it happens in children. So but by the time your child is getting to 5, 6, 7, they should be able to stay. But he's still 10 years old and mommy is leaving us and he's crying. And that's already a disorder. So we call it separation anxiety disorder. Then, of course, we have agoraphobia. That's when you have panic disorder that is always happening regularly. So those are some level of anxiety disorder. So how do we cope with this? First, I always tell people is that if you're a very anxious person, Philippians 4:6 is a scripture you should constantly meditate on. And you practice it. If you know you have anxiety, one of the things you must know how to do very well, you must be a prayer warrior. What did I say? So you must pray. If you know that, if you know yourself, I used to be a very anxious person. I can worry for the worry of 10 years. I can worry it from today. I used to be like, I worry about the future. Things have not happened. What if this happened? I used to be very fearful. So if you are someone that worries a lot, that's one of the things you must learn to do. You must learn to pray and pour out your heart to the Lord in what? In prayers. That's where you get inner strength from. To overcome anxiety. So, they said, be careful for nothing, but in everything. So, there's nothing you cannot pray about. It's just that there's not everything that can be a prayer point for long. You understand? There are two different things. One, something that should be a prayer point for long is salvation of your soul. That you should believe God for every day. But there is nothing that you should not be able to pray about. Anything that is making you anxious or worried, just go to God in prayer and you pray about it and you drop it there. Move on. So in everything, said with prayer and supplication. And you see, it's not just only prayer, with what? Thanksgiving.
So it's a combo. It's that when doctor gives you drug, gives you antibiotics, vitamin C, and paracetamol. That's how. So this is a combo of anxiety. Prayer, thanksgiving must be there. So if you're an anxious person, one of the things that you must constantly practice is thanksgiving. Always thanking God. Always playing music of thanksgiving. Just always. Once you, something you must cultivate. So someone like me, I cannot pray without music. That's how I pray. I pray with songs. I pray in morning. So I've done that over years. That has helped that anxiety nature. So if you're a very anxious person, you're always worried, that's one of the things you must learn to do. So let your request be made known unto God. What will now happen? Verse 7. Look at it. And the peace of God. So I tell people, I said it is not even that that issue is addressed. So, but one of the things that happens is that God gives you peace. So even in that situation, you just have peace, calmness of heart. So that is the major thing. So because that thing will still be addressed, but it might not be instantly. But you know what anxiety does? That anxiety kills you before the result comes in. But once you're able to do the, what happens is that God gives you peace like a shield. It just keeps your heart in stability until the result now materializes. To say, and the peace of God which passes all understanding. Because what is producing that anxiety is an understanding. Look at it when you're anxious. I am 40 years old. I've not seen a brother. I am anxious. Why are you anxious? I will soon be 50. When I become 50, I will not have a child. I will not have a child. All my friends, they are getting married. They have children. So in the society, I'm not meeting up. It's an understanding. So what now happens is that peace that God is going to give you is also an understanding that God will bring across your way that will stabilize you. And the peace of God, we passes all understanding. All the understanding that is producing anxiety, it surpasses them. It's a superior one. God, and then what now happens? Shall keep your hearts. An anxious mind is just like a sail. Any issue can drift it anywhere. So, but one of the ways to deal with that is that when you are prayerful with thanksgiving, it keeps your heart. Nothing can toss your heart to and fro and make your heart go up, go make it go down, make it like this. You become unstable. So, I say prayer and thanksgiving, that Philippians, is a good medication for what? Anxiety. Other things that you can do is, for people that have panic attacks, deep breathing and relaxation. So you breathe in deeply. You hold it for about 10 seconds, then you release it. You do it consistently. Once you do it, you find out that you would really, it works. It just calms. It's hyperventilation. It just reduces those anxious feeling. Then, of course, regular exercise. I call exercise bugbonishe. You know that there are some drugs that pharmacists will sell to you. They will say it works for, you know, those people that used to announce drug in the, they say it can heal staphylococcus, it can heal horsa, it can heal. In the bus, they will mention about 100 things that one single drug can do. Bugbonishe, physical exercise is like that. Physical exercise works for almost everything. Hypertension, diabetes, insomnia, so many things. It works, it reduces a lot of risk factors. So it has a whole lot of benefits. Then, of course, limiting caffeine. And let me also say something. Say screen time. The number of time you spend on TikTok, Instagram, Facebook, Snapchat. If you're somebody that dwells on this social media, I bet you, even studies, scientific studies have shown it, you will be anxious. Because the world is always moving. New trends. You see your mates. You see, you have to just be up. You're always. He keeps tearing you up unnecessarily. So tell people, don't. If you're an anxious person, don't feed on social media too much. Feed on the world. Because social media, we always see somebody say, hey, so this is the new. As in, it's always tearing up anxiety. You see something that will make you anxious. So limiting screen time is also something you might need to do if you're someone that is. That gets anxious unnecessarily. So let's quickly look at depression. What's depression? When people have persistent feeling of sadness, hopelessness, or loss of interest, at least it must be ongoing for nothing less than 2 weeks. So sometimes you get down, maybe, and then immediately you receive alarm of money. Your mood is lifted. That one is not depression. That one is lack of money. That one is not depression. But for depression, you will see it. It's almost there almost every day of the week. And it must be there at least. It must be persistent for nothing less than 2 weeks. So when it is sustained for like 2 weeks, then, you might start thinking, okay, this looks like depression. So we see low mood to a degree that is definitely abnormal for that individual. And it is present for most of the day, almost every day for at least 2 weeks. Then the person loses interest in activities that are normally pleasurable. So maybe someone that likes coming to church during worship, they're the ones that are always shouting, and all of a sudden they're just there. What's happening to this sister? What's happening to this brother? You know, low energy. You wake up in the morning, you're not feeling refreshed all the time. You are tired, you get easily tired. Those are some of the symptoms of depression. Then inability to think or poor concentration, sleep disturbances. It could be increased or reduced. Some people, when they are depressed, they oversleep. Some, when they are depressed, they don't sleep. Then change in appetite. It could also be increase in appetite or reduction in appetite with the corresponding weight change, either increased weight or weight reduction. So we have mild, moderate, and severe depression. For mild depression, most times you don't really give any medication. We just do things like counseling, exercise. If I like a Christian, we say come to church, dance, all those things, they help to lift the mood. But for moderate to severe depression, those ones, they need medications. You give medications in addition to those other stuff that I've described. So how do we prevent depression? We are looking at healthy living. So how do we prevent it? Genetic predisposition, little or nothing that we can do about that. So that's where everlasting word comes in. So there are some things that medicine cannot do. So you cannot alter the genetic predisposition. You need the word. Everlasting word to go and treat it from the marrow. Yes. So from pregnancy, we talk about safe pregnancy and delivery. We encourage people to do antenatal care. Then early childhood, make sure that you give your children happy childhood. So we found out that is also very important. Some people did not have an happy childhood. So they grew up just having this, they're always depressed and all that. So giving your children happy childhood, safe environment, building self-esteem, trust and resilience. So I must also talk about the resilience. When I was in medical school, we went through a lot and we didn't die and we did not commit suicide. But nowadays, you see students, little things. If you scold a student too much, you can say that because of what you said, that she's becoming suicidal. You steal your phone, you become suicidal. As in things, and you're like, from where to where? What am I trying to say? People don't have resilience. So you see, many children are not resilient. They cannot go through difficult situations and thoughts. And they said that was your own generation. It's not about our own generation. It's about having resilience to face life. So you see many people, the things that make them depressed, if you hear it, if not because you're a psychiatrist, want them to lie down and take pancreas and beat them. Sincerely. So you find out that not having enough resilience is one of the things that's also contributing to the, I call it menace of depression that we see among adolescents and teenagers nowadays. So I want to employ you as parents that are raising up children. Look for ways to build resilience in your children. I'm not saying that we should not. Some of our parents did it to the extreme. But you need to raise your children tough. To know that this world is not a bed of roses. Yes. They must know that there are ups and downs in life. There are setbacks. And you must have faith to go through it. So, but nowadays, people don't want anything. Any little setback like this, you see something, they'll just break. As in, they'll break and they become. I'm not talking joke. Oh, they are really suicidal. They get suicidal. A child asks for the parents for a change of phone and you know whatever. Tapia. Yes. It is that bad. I'm not telling you the way. So when you keep giving everything your child needs, you keep giving them. Once they say, they don't know what is no. And life will not always give you a yes. So God must give us wisdom. We must know how to balance things. Some of us went through extreme that the way they raised us, I was almost getting to abuse. You don't understand? It's abuse now. They are beating you. And you cry. They will beat you for crying. If they now beat you and you don't cry, they say you're not crying. So, you understand? So you don't even know what you should do. Should I cry or should I not cry? But at the same time, too, even though we're trying to balance things now, we must also not jeopardize that in the name of not making our children have resilience. Ability to do things for themselves. Ability to pull through difficult situations. Children of these days, they give up easily. They start something, they cannot finish, they give up. They experience little setback, they give up. I remember when I was in 2011, I wanted to leave medicine. Because all my life, I'd never failed before. I was 2011. All of them, they said I should repeat. I said, me. I will I repeat. So I said, I'm not, that means God did not make me to do medicine. God did not create me to do medicine. Because really, I didn't want to do medicine. I wanted to do computer. So when I now went to meet him, I said I was not doing medicine again. I said, it's because you have never failed in your life. I've always had prices, represent my school, represent my sister. That was the said, okay, you know what? Just go and pass this exam. Once you pass this exam, we change to computer. So I sat down and read. I passed the exam. So when I passed, and I remember to me, I said, that day I've passed. I'm not doing the medicine again. I want to course. I said, no. I said, you will pull through. I said, I know that it is tough. I said, but you must put through. And I always thank him that he allowed me, because that was the first major setback I will face in my life. I remember that I went through medical school with faith. I had to believe God for my exams. Other people who mention that it's easy. It was with faith. When you are doing an exam, like they'll be praying in tongues, you'll be praying. But I used to think that it did not allow me to just give up just like that. Not because I wouldn't have done well, maybe I'd have even done better than this, but it was trying to just put something in me that but once you get set back, it's not the end of the world. You must be able to do what pull through. So for parents, please. God must teach us wisdom. I can't say what method we should use, but it's something that we must have at the back of our mind, wanting to build resilience in our children. Okay, for adulthood, build social support system. So I say invest in family and relationship, church units, house fellowship. So one way of prevent depression in adults, you must have social ties. Invest in church brethren. I believe that some of the relationships we have are very shallow. As in shallow, we can farm on Sunday like this, we all pause. Hey, my mom, when you're doing bad day, I don't know if you do it, or maybe you have family page. On bad day like this, people will post, they will flatter the person. I will look at you and say, this person left a little by. What started giving me issues was, maybe when I noticed that somebody has a problem, I say, you are this person's friend, talk to the person. I can't talk to her. And I've said about the way you people, every Sunday, you snap and you post selfie, my person, my this, my, So I began to say that, okay. Then somebody will go through something, say, oh, did you talk with her? I didn't talk to anybody, but I called my mommy, or I called my daddy, and I said, with all the brethren around you, your brethren are supposed to be like your social support system. When you are going through things, you can share with them. When you don't have money, so for example, anybody should not come to church because you don't have transport fee. Because you have bread in the hand that you can, you are not ashamed to call the gate, boy, please, I need money to fuel my cow. No fuel this money, no. But when people are not eating, with no heads, why? There's no food. So out of all the people that you found in church, there's nobody, we don't want to just, relationship should not be shallow. If we call ourselves brethren, relationship should not be what? Shallow. Relationship should not be shallow. I don't like, personally, I don't like. If I'm committed to you, I'm committed to you with everything. Yeah, apart from the spiritual covering and everything, church should be a support system for you. You should have people that, when you're going through things, you can speak to them, even before it gets to your pastor, that you pray together. They can share in your troubles. They can share in your blessings. It's only when you're doing bad day that they just share cake. When you're going through issues too, they can share in your pain. You can speak with them. They can help you. They can provide support. They can provide succor. Sometimes when the heat is hot, even from this process of work of salvation, you need a friend that you can open up to. See, I feel like giving up. Oh. And they say, no. And we encourage you. And it's not that. No, pastor, when I see people that all of a sudden they just decide that they're not doing this truth again, then there's something wrong. Because along the line, some of them should have picked it and helped them. I found out some people don't come to truth when they first come to church. What sustains them is the relationship, the farming, until the word of the house becomes their own word. So when they first come, is the brethren life that they just keeps them going until the place they find what? establishment. So he said that that support also has something it does to your mental health. And it is what it is needed. So in John 26, we must invest in relationships. Say invest. So don't say that people don't like me. They are not close to me. No, how much investment have you made in relationships? How many people have you gone to visit? How many times have you called up people? How many times have you checked on people? How many people have you prayed for people? How many times have you gone visiting? How many times have you opened up to people? When you do that, it's what you sow that you reap. So for us to build strong relationships, we must do what? We must invest. So we must invest in a relationship to take it from being shallow into deep waters. For pregnant women, also for pregnant women and people that have just given birth, they are very prone to depression. Other women that have given birth, when people are pregnant, you must provide support. Because during pregnancy, there's a lot of hormonal fluctuations, so people get depressed. So we need older women to put structures in place. So they do that, and then they also pray. As they are going there, they are praying. They are using prayer to, because Satan doesn't like us. And it's true, you know what thing? If anything happens to someone, there's no way to not touch your pastor. So if they provide all the support, then when they give birth, period is always tumultuous because you have hormones are just crashing on each other. So when they give birth to other sisters, they do roster. Somebody will go Monday. Somebody will go Tuesday, they do shift. They just go and be encouraging you. If you cannot hear word that time, they will pray in word in your ears. At least I'm at a certainty and all that. Yes, because you actually need just to get enough physical and spiritual strength. So those are support systems. So you do that. And then when you give birth, I tell them, do family planning. Just rest for some time. Do family planning and all that. Then also FKBN, they start looking at your career and development after a while. Because sometimes childbearing can stifle career development. And so some people get into depression. We try to bring that balance. Between, how do I now balance my career and raising a family? So we have older couples that will speak to you, you know, and all that. All of those things, they are very important. Because some people are young, you're even confused. You don't know what to do. So you need older women to help, you know, that have walked that path to help give you tips. And it's not pastor. That's why I tell people, you can't be sitting down on the chair, just be warming chair every Sunday and say, hey, my soul is not yet saved. My soul is not yet saved. When it's so low, it's safe. It's true. You can't just be warming chair. So once you have stayed in a local assembly, you have heard word for about 4 years, you should be responsible. We should be able to tender younger ones that are just coming. If you have really learned well and you have stayed under the word for 6 years, you are not a pastor. You are not start calling yourself P something. You are not yet a pastor. But what you are doing, what you are supposed to do normally. When God was going to send someone to Saul, it was but Ananias, not P Ananias. Why did I say? And but Ananias could add gift of discernment. Don't let us devalue this, our Christianity. So pastoring younger ones, you know, is a natural thing. It's just like when you are in your house, when you are 10 years old, you have a brother that is 2. They can tell you, we are pants for your brother. We are feed your brother. It doesn't make you mommy and daddy. Older women will pastor the younger pregnant women and the early marriages. So you pastor them, you provide support. You provide support, you provide help, you provide tips. Doing it under the oversight of your pastors. And you do it well, without anything. Only people that in the ministry, people who are called into fivefold. Nothing like that. Say nothing like that. Other things that you could do to prevent depression, like I said, thanksgiving. Encouraging yourself in the Lord. One thing you must learn to do, all the time your pastor will encourage you. Said, and David encouraged him after they've looted them, took their wives, did everything. The no priest, they didn't send anybody to him. It's one thing as a believer, you must learn to do that. Times that you'll be down, you must develop that skill of encouraging yourself in the Lord. You get scriptures, say, why you see David say many times, why so cast down, oh my soul? Put your hope in the Lord. Learn to encourage yourself. So when you're feeling down, don't say, my pastor saw me the way I was looking and they did not encourage me. It's all the time. Pastor too is going through things. You know when people say they are going through things, I say, don't worry, I'm a very blunt person. I'm going through things. Pastor, say, we should exchange. They say, no, don't let us. I just say, can't do exchange. You feel you're the only one going through things? I'm also going through things. Say, we should exchange. They say, no, continue. Encourage yourself in the Lord. We are all encouraging ourselves, what? In the Lord. So when you say your sermon, don't wait until a pastor comes or something. learn that attitude of encouraging yourself, taking scripture, singing psalms, making melody in your heart to the Lord. That's where you encourage yourself in the Lord. Then, of course, we talked about exercise, talked about music. You are feeling down, play music, dance. You know, you will see even Saul and David, when Saul was being tormented, he will call David to come and play the harp. And what will happen, his mood will be lifted. So music is powerful. So in our house, we should have sound system that is blasting music. It is blasting demon, blasting away depression. Yes. So if it is not blasting messages, it should be blasting music. This is good. It lifts up the soul. And of course, dancing. You know, and I wrote in Isaiah 54, for those that are waiting for children, one attitude that must be with you is singing. That's what God told them. Say, sing, go barren. People that are barren, they're always crying. So God is giving an antidote. What antidote to that thing is to what? Sing. Break forth into what? Singing. And he don't say you don't sing low key. Oh, hi. Say, cry aloud. Thou that does not travail with child. God, this is your hand product. For more are the children of the desolate than the children of. So you are seeing the future. That is you that will be tired and say, God, me, be mama. So you're already rejoicing. You are seeing ahead. So those are attitudes that we must employ to deal with depression. Music, dancing. You dance. You hear bad news from home. Instead of crying and wailing, first play music and dance. And then instead of people, that's not the time you should pray. Break new world, break new down. No, that's not what you need at that time. That's not what you need. There are different music for different things. That's not why you should say, my soul cries. For you, that's not the kind of music you need. There are different music for different times. And you will dance. You will dance. You will dance. That's how to deal with the spirit of depression. Let me be sincere. I'm a doctor. I know there is depression. But you see, one of the things that wele, no one says somebody wele. I don't know the meaning of wele. But when somebody has, maybe you have harassed your senior in school, they don't say, don't worry. When in the afternoon, when you are going home, they're not going to wele you. They wait for you on the road. You see, some of the spirit that wele us in this part, I found that, I've studied it very well, that wele us in this part is spirit of discouragement and depression. They just come intermittently from time to time. Sometimes you don't even know where you are discouraged. You are just down. You must not accept and say, I'm down. No, you are not down. Our spirit need. Pastor, me and Father, anytime you finish conference like this, hey, my pastor, it's a plenty of them. They just come and waylay me. They just want to get me down and discouraged. And they don't stop every year upon year, they do it. So when music, I don't joke with music in my life. It's one of my weapons. You know, we have different weapons. That's my own bomb. I just throw it. Wah! Your player explodes. Some of these depression, they're not just only medical, genetic, and sometimes they are spirits. They just want to torment your soul and just bring it up because it is with joy that we draw. We want out of the wells of what? Salvation. So many times Satan will come and want to deal with that joy. Oh, my faking joy level low. Because when it is low, you cannot draw. There is an excitement you need in the spirit to draw salvation. I'm a psychiatrist. I don't still want you to give in to that spirit of depression. Because I know that they are wicked spirits. They're just targeting your work. You can't even show yourself. They just do it very subtly. Whether if you are sick in the physical body, everybody will know they will pray for you. But those ones, they just bring you down. You just be taking you just down. You're just discouraged. You're not excited. Any spiritual thing doesn't make sense to you anymore. You're just down. Loving your brother becomes a problem. You're just struggling. And I bring it in different ways. I mean different ways. You can just say news from home. Sometimes you just say, look at your life. Your life is not getting better. Then you need to now look at it. You say, it looks as if this is like that.
They say, ah, maybe what your mommy told you, you know, maybe some of you, they told you that somebody is following, that there's somebody in your family, there's a curse following your family. They say, ah, there's one curse following yours, so we are come and go to, we say, no, I'm following God. And all of a sudden, that's actually, see, it happened to your sister, it happened to your brother. They say, is it not true that somebody, nobody is following you? That's why you should go and get songs like, your goodness is working after me. No family is running after me. It is God's goodness that is one running after me. That is what is running after me. You rewire your mind. Because it is thought. Most of the battles we fight, they start in our thoughts. You know when Satan tempted Jesus, that said he took him to an pinnacle. Did you think he went there physically? It was in his thoughts. What a journey. So most of the battles that we fight, it is where? In our thoughts. That's why you must have a ready answer for the devil. So he's coming, he's making you depressed, saying, see, now it's December now. Everybody is taking turns. Say, hey, what have you achieved even this year? Look at yourself. Eh? Some of us, the seeds we are carrying, you have to hide it from things that make you depressed. If going to your old friend's marriage to do a show, it will make you depressed. Don't go. What did I say?
Don't go.
Don't go. Until a time, we could know that Jesus, at a time, they were carrying him and running away. But a time came, he could stand. So some of you, we have seeds that we are carrying that are still baby. This life, you just expose it to me. And now come and say, you are now depressed. You are the one. After what, Fanny? When the angel warned Joseph that they should run away, they did not run away. That they would have killed the King of Glory. Yes. At that stage, because he was still in that baby form. So some of the things you are carrying is still in a baby form. And sometimes you have to protect it from things that make you depressed. You keep yourself. There are certain companies you don't keep. There are certain places you don't keep. Until a particular time when you can stand strong. God will give us wisdom. This depression, I hate it. All this worrying, depressing spirit. This 2027, you will march on them. Hey, I said this 2027, God will equip me with so much wisdom. You will walk over them. I say with joy. Abundant joy. Abundant joy. Excitement in the spirit. You will draw from the wells of salvation. You will draw. You will draw. You will draw. After sitting under Pastor Thompson for 1 year. I sound now. Just say, you the spirit. Say, you now begin to count all the blessings. Health. Firstly, health. Light. And I am blessed. I am blessed. Blessed am I. To live a hungry life, that even thirsty for Jesus, it is a blessing. So many people don't have that now. Don't you know it is a blessing? Say it is a blessing. And you rejoice in the Lord. There is no room for depression. No room for depression. No room for depression. No room for depression. It is joy all the way. Say joy all the way. It is joy all the way. You see, even in medicine, when they are talking about because something deadly, the burden of depression, as in what it causes, what it makes you lose, they call it quality of life, what it makes you lose, it is so higher than even when you have stroke. So you can know what it now means in the spirit. When spirit comes to torment us and make us discouraged and depressed, it's just a small way of siphoning life. They'll be doing it small by small. And before you know, they have sapped a lot from you. In 2026, say, I will stay in joy. You must stay in joy. You must fight. Say, blessed the Lord who teacheth my hands to war. You must war all those depressive spirits. You must fight all those discouraging thoughts. And you tell yourself, the thoughts that the Lord have towards me, they are thoughts of what? Good
and what not of evil to bring me well to the expected end. Amen. Are you excited this morning? Come on, give God a shout. See, you must stop listening to what Satan is saying. He's always bringing negative things. So that's why I like this song. Say, Satan, the number you are calling is not available.
The number you are calling is not available.
You know, some of us, once they call from home like this and they say, something happened, they just call you, and before they know it, you are down. They just called you from home. They just gave you one news. And then you just go flat. Or maybe at work. Something just happened. No, there are many ways Satan calls us into depressive mode. But you see, in this 2026, you will no longer be available. He will dial the number like he used to. You will not pick up. You know why? You have ported from depressive line into what? Joy line. Depressed. Say, no longer depressed. No longer depressed. No longer discouraged. That is his weapon. That's one of the weapons he uses. They never start using all this. You see those ones. I said that the first weapon he uses. When that brings discouragement, depression, then afterwards, that'll be beginning offense, bitterness. All those ones are the second level. But you see, when you don't allow that first level, those second level cannot come. Because you are always joyful. Say, I will stay joyful. I can hear you say, I will stay joyful. I will stay joyful. So you must fight to stay joyful. He said, fight the good fight of faith. And lay hold what? On eternal life. So you must fight. Everything that wants to discourage you from walking this path. You must fight. Say, fight. So you must fight. You must war. You get discouraged, you war it down. Say this 26, I'm going to war you down. You get sung. Any weapon that no works for you. If it is message, if it is anything, you cut that weapon. You equip yourself. Say this 26, no room for discouragement. So, I know we are preparing for fasting in January. I just want to also have some one or two health tips that we would use. So I'm sure we all know, I won't go to the spiritual benefits. You know some of the spiritual benefits, helps us to focus, pray, self-discipline, encourage gratitude and empathy. But some of the physical benefits I want us to look at also is that it gives our digestive system rest. That are always eating all the time. You are not doing good to yourself. There are times to eat, there are times that you don't eat, there are times that you eat. So 24 hours of the day, you are not supposed to be eating and snacking and snacking and snacking. You should have eating windows. It helps the system. Because what happens is that many times when you eat, just imagine a tube. You keep feeding it. I know it takes time for the body to process this food. So one has not even been processed fully. Then you load it stays there. So imagine something like pork that stays in the system for about 72 hours. You eat it, it's still there. Then you have ate and ate again. All of them are clogging. Some of those things get rotten. Really. In quotes, that's the word I can use, but they're not processed on time. So that's why sometimes you leave space. In fact, even apart from fasting, there's something people call intermittent fasting. That's why intermittent fasting is very good. That you have a time of the day where you don't eat, a long hour, maybe about 6 to 8 hours window, when you don't feed your system with anything, and you just allow it to rest and process the ones that you have fed it. That's why a lot of people are prone to intestinal cancers. Now, all these colonic cancers and all that. It's because of our eating pattern at all. So you see, they say, blessed are thou, O land, when the king is the son of noble, and thy princes eat in due season, and for strength and not for drunkenness. So that's why you don't eat just because you want to enjoy the meal. You eat for strength, and you eat it in the due time. So there are times that you... So that's why, as much as possible, one of the things you must try to work at also in 2026 is late night eating. You eat and then you just go and sleep. It doesn't really do so well. It doesn't help your system because you don't use it. The thing just stays there. And then you don't. So just imagine something is something staying in your stomach for hours. So it gets decomposed. It releases a lot of toxins, toxic things into your system. That's why You see, sometimes when they want to detoxify, they will say, take this tea, take this, just to detoxify and remove some of those. So fasting period is also a good, apart from the spiritual benefits, it's also a good time to detoxify, to rest your system from overfeeding and all that. So, and it also gives support for metabolic balance. Because for some of us, you eat. Each time you eat, especially if it has carbohydrates, it stimulates insulin. Insulin has to be released. So imagine every minute you eat biscuit now, it stimulates. 2 hours again, you stimulate. So that's how some of us. So just imagine somebody is pressing NEPA all the time. Bam, bam, bam. So sometimes you just need to balance the whole thing. So fasting actually helps that. Then also fasting also helps to bring some level of clarity and focus. It encourages also emotional control and resilience because it takes some level of discipline. So even mentally, fasting is also very good. So like I said, it regulates sugar and metabolism. Then it also supports weight management because there's a study that just shows that when you are hungry, there's always good to not eat just because, it's time to eat lunch. That it's good sometimes to just wait until you are really hungry. Then when you are really hungry, your body eats the fat cells in your body. So fasting helps that. So that helps you to shed some weight. Then it also, I've talked about the mental discipline, then it encourages healthier eating habits in the sense that you're not eating all the time. So like I would say, if you are already above 30 years and above, you shouldn't be eating more than twice a day. Sincerely. Yes. More than twice a day, sincerely. You don't eat. You see, the parents that were eating 3 times a day, they were farmers. Yes, you're not. Most of us, you sit down, sedentary lifestyle in front of the computer, you don't use it. So you need something really very light. Maybe one something light in the morning and then just one major meal. Next, you're good. You're good to go. For some people, if you're not really very active, you don't need more than once in a day, and you are fine, and you take a lot of water, you are good. Sincerely, try it. You see that it works. The reason our parents were eating eba, all our foods that we have, they were because we are an agrarian society. So those are because we're doing a lot of, so our parents, our forefathers, they did a lot of all these heavy meals because they had to go to the farm and work. So, but we inherited all those foods. So we are sitting now in front of computer 24 hours and you want to eat semo, you want to eat amala, you want to eat fufu, you eat yam in the morning, in the afternoon you eat semo, in the night you eat rice. Kilo de? During fasting, please, I want to say this. Currently, I don't know many of you notice that there is climate change. You have any climate change, but really it has changed. There was no Amatan this year. And that is, and then you see rain coming at the wrong hours. Then how many of you have been to the sun? Sometimes you see that you feel as if the sun is peppering your body. Yes, it's because our ozone layer is gradually, thinning out. So the climate has really changed. So you need a lot of water during this period. So I tell people nothing less than 3 liters a day. So you make sure that during this fasting period, when you start fasting, make sure that you are hydrated well. Let me just, I'm a doctor. I've seen people, pastor, during January, February, even if I, when I was arrested, when I started, they told us, during January and February, it's always a peak period for us in psychiatry world. People become delirious from fasting. Some people are on medication, they will not take their medications. You know, a whole lot of things because of ignorance. So please, during fasting, actually with this, there's a lot of heat. Please make sure that you stay hydrated. So how you know you are hydrated is this. You know, some of us, when you pee, you see your urine is yellow. You say, I have malaria. It's not malaria. It is, you're not well hydrated. Then I showed this color. So you can see the way your urine should be. It should be pale. We call it pale yellow. So when you pee, to know that you are well hydrated, your urine should be what? Pale yellow. So once you go and pee, you see that your urine is concentrated. You are not taking enough water. So then you should do what? You should hydrate yourself. So during this period, you should have all these marked bottles so that you can be using it to calculate how much you're taking a day. And don't take it at once. You know, some of us, because you're fast, you're hungry. You now take 2 liters to make you full. Oh my God, you're just disturbing yourself. You know, some people use it to quench hunger. No, it's not to quench hunger. It is to do what? Rehydrate. So you take it in gradual sips. Then also, so some people want to break fast. Sometimes in my house, I used to make jazz. When they want to break fast, if you see the yam, I'll say, so you don't know, don't kill yourself. But they want to load for against the next day. It doesn't work that way. In fact, it's when you eat so heavy that you'll be hungry the next day. So when you are breaking, tell your neighbor, say, break light. So when you want to start, don't start with fufu. You can take maybe something very light, maybe fruits or something, because of your system. Because your system has been off food for a while, and then you're not putting something strong in it. It will it will be a whole lot. So you take something soft to first of all ease off before now taking whatever. And when you want to eat, don't overeat. See, that mindset that if I eat well tomorrow, I'm not being is a lie. Because when you eat, let me tell you what happens. When you eat large meals, your insulin spike goes up a lot. So it mops up everything that the brain food breaks down in. It's that same way that it will mop up everything because it is stimulated at a very high degree. So that's why the next day you still feel hungry. And it is, and I tell people, fasting is not postponement of food. You know, some people between 6 that you break till 12, they can eat the food of the next day like 3 meals. It's just, I call it postponement of food. You should avoid breaking with heavy meals and also with junks. Don't break your fast with Coke. It is acidic, please. Don't break your fast with all this sugar, whatever. It will cause insulin spike. So don't break with them. So break with fruits, very things that are very light. Then afterwards, you can now take your meal. And then during fast, people are prone to constipation. So that's why it's also good to take some vegetables during fasting. And of course, enough water. So I just want to put some caution for those with peptic ulcer diseases. You can actually be excused from fasting, especially if most times you get the symptoms get exacerbated. And remember that when it says, they say if you have ulcer, it's even fasting that you use to kill it. Oh jeez, you know. I remember that I went to say yes, and as I said, during January is a peak period. You see people coming with bleeding, internal bleeding, you know, fasting, you know, with ulcer and all that. So please, if you have very problematic ulcer, please don't go near fasting, okay? Or you break early. You know, you can break early, and when you do that, you take yogurts and all that to help coat your stomach and all that. So those are some of the things you do. Then for pregnant women and nursing mothers, please also you should take a lot of caution because you're pregnant, you're not the only one feeding, your baby is also feeding. You know, you're a nursing mother, you need to breastfeed, and your baby is feeding on you. So you can't, if you're not eating anything and you breastfeed, you can actually get some people get confused, people get delirious, some people even faint. So please, let's take caution. Then, of course, if you have any chronic health condition, I tell people, you have any chronic health condition that requires you being on maybe medications or monitoring, you need to see your doctors to ask if you can fast. There are some chronic medical condition that you can have and you can fast. There are some that you may not be able to go pari passu with fasting. So just give your doctor a call that, oh, you are going on a so-so day fasting. Is it advisable that I go? Sometimes I say, okay, maybe do it intermittently. They'll just give you some medical, you know, advice so that you are all good during. And then if you are taking medication for hypertension during this fasting period, please take your medications. Like I tell people, hypertensive don't need food in the morning. So like, since my patient will come, their blood pressure is high when they come, they say, yeah, because I've not eaten breakfast. Please take your antihypertensives in the morning if you have hypertension. There's certain chronic, as I said, consult your doctor. There are certain chronic health conditions that will require you that you still take your medications during fasting. So I've talked about adequate hydration, break with light meals. You see, I wrote there, not ever. Don't eat too late. Then avoid hunger strike. During fasting, make sure that you are meditating, you are praying, and you are worshiping. If you're not doing that, it is hunger strike. No, you can do hunger strike. So make sure that you are doing that. That also helps to give you some strength to go through the strike. Hypertension is now, before it used to be the disease of older people, but now you see people in their 30s becoming hypertensive just because some of our lifestyle. Hypertension and diabetes, I'll just show us a few things. So hypertension, we all know, the blood pressure is consistently high. Many times, sincerely, you don't even have any symptoms. When you're hypertensive, you don't know. Many times it's just incidental finding. People go to the hospital and then you just find out they're just doing routine checkup. And then so some people really, they can have some signs like maybe slight headaches regularly. That's for why. And you see, it is very good to check. In fact, I like method. My daddy is a Methodist in church. They have BP every Sunday. They check. That's why he checks his blood pressure every Sunday. They have some of the check, because in our church, I don't remember we shared it with you, in our church that we do this medical outreach, and when we're just doing just routine medical outreach, and right there and there somebody had a BP of 190 120, as in that is enough to give you stroke, and this person is not up to 35. We had to sit her down. Just sit down, don't move up, just sit down. I had to quickly go and get antihypertensive, and that was just by accident.
Because she would just have suffered a stroke. I'll just say it is Satan. It is Satan anyway. But you know, so that's why it's good to be able to check blood pressure regularly. So many times it's a silent condition, you know. But in some cases, you could have, when it is very high, you could have headaches, just by having headache consistently, blood vision and all that. So normal blood pressure should be less than 120/80. Once it is above 120, between 120 to 129, we call it elevated blood pressure. But hypertension now starts when it's from between 130 to 139 and 80 to 89. Then stage 2 hypertension, it is when it is greater than 140/90. But most times, all people will say that when it is above 140/90. But you see, even when it is between 130, 139, and all that, it is still like the first stage. So we should be aware of these things. So let's look at the risk factors. 1, overweight or obesity. So once you are overweight, you are at the risk of hypertension. Family issue. So if your parents are hypertensive, so you should know. If your parents are hypertensive, know that it is a risk factor for you to develop. Not that you will develop it. So now I have to start taking some health decisions that will not allow you to come down with it. Okay? So unhealthy diet and lack of exercise are also risk factors. Too much sodium in the food, salt, Maggi, all those things. Salt, Maggi, especially for Africans. So, in fact, for Africans, most of the drugs they use for our hypertension, they are drugs that reduce salt because our hypertension is so salt dependent. So many times people eat, they say, this food is salty. They say it's not salty. I say, it is salty. So, using too much, some people want to fry 2 eggs, you put a whole Maggi inside, you know, as in salty meals, they cause risk of hypertension. And then the risk increases with age. Once you are 45 years and above, but even now, people that are less than that are having hypertension, but you can work against it. Reducing your sodium intake, making sure that you are exercising regularly, making sure that you are fit. Then, then manage stress and maintain a healthy weight. Follow medical advice and prescribed treatments if needed. So let's look at diabetes. We have 2 types of diabetes. We have type 1 and type 2. For diabetes, the type 1, those are the ones that have to use insulin because their pancreas is not producing enough insulin. Type 2 is the one that they use just only the tablets and usually more predisposed to insulin. So it's not as if the pancreas is not producing insulin, but the body is not what responding. So let's look at it. So the normal blood sugar should be less than 100 milligram per DL. So pre-diabetes is between 100 and 125. So it becomes diabetes when they measure it on two separate tests and you have more than 120 milligrams per DL, then that is diabetes. What are the risk factors? You need to know. Also, genetic, family history, overweight or obesity, especially around the belly. So once you have big tummy, you have a lot of weight around the abdomen, it is a risk factor for diabetes. So unhealthy diet and lack of exercise, the same thing, it increases with age. Then for pregnant women, if when you were pregnant, they told you that you have gestational diabetes, it is a risk factor for having diabetes. Because some people have gestational diabetes, after they give birth, the diabetes will go, but it is still a risk factor. So those kind of people, you should not be going near certain kind of foods, over-processed foods, all this sugar, drink. Like I told you, my mother-in-law, all their family, they are diabetic. She's the only one. She stayed away from all these things, and she doesn't have diabetes. So you can actually beat it. So if you have a family history or all that, you can beat it if you choose a healthy lifestyle. Let's look at the next slide, please. So balanced meals with controlled sugar and carbohydrates, regular physical activity, monitoring your blood sugar levels. Let's see the next slide. There's another one. I want to do this. And Pastor, I think we have to do this in our church as well. So you need to know your BMI. To know maybe you are obese or overweight. So someone like me now, I'm overweight for my height because I'm not too tall. So how you will know is that you measure your weight and you will divide your weight by the square of your height. So let's say your height is 1.51. You will square it. That will be 1.51 times 1.51. Whatever you get, you write it down. Then you will use what you get to divide your weight. So whatever you get, if it is less than 18.5, you are underweight. That's not good. the normal should be between 18.5 and what? 24.9. Then if you are overweight, you'll be between 25 and 29.9. If you are obese, class 1, 30 to 34.9. Class 2, 35 to 39. Class 3, that is morbid obesity, greater than 40 or equal to 40. So you should know this so that you will know where you are. Because you can feel you are not, especially if you are not too tall, you don't have capacity, you are not supposed to accommodate, you can't accommodate because your height determines, has a lot to play in terms of obesity. So if you are not too tall, you can't afford to accumulate too much fat. So someone like me, now I'm overweight, I'm working on it. So you should know it, so that because all those things are things that we need to, many of times you don't, and obesity is a, you will see, is a risk factor for hypertension, is a risk factor for diabetes. So please, I don't say I'm not yet 35, I'm straight. No, check it and be sure and know what your BMI actually is. Next slide, please. So this is a BMI chart. You can't see this, but I just projected it. But you know where you are. So please calculate it. Know your weight, know your height, and calculate it and know where exactly you fall so that you can work accordingly. Okay, how households can be a healthy supporting system. So I talked about healthy meals. Please, I talked about it last time. Let's plan healthy meals. Let's do routine exercising, motivating one another. Sleep pattern. The mommies in the house, please look into that. People that stay very late into the night, you know, things that you can do to ensure that people go to bed early enough. Then, of course, emotional support. Let's go to aging. So, aging is a natural process that can be healthy and active. So, one of the things we should focus on is mobility, flexibility, and mental well-being. And then you must make sure that you maintain your social connection and a positive mindset. Healthy lifestyle actually slows down age-related decline. So for younger people, if you're able to adopt a healthy lifestyle, you find out that you won't age quickly. You can slow down the aging process. So next slide, please. It's really better when you're 40 years and above. You should do a lot of strengthening exercises. So you do more of carrying, that more than running and jogging, you should do more of lifting. Use lifting up things, doing stretches, things that will increase your muscle strength and balance. Because the older you are, people are prone to falls. So you do things that strengthen you, lift things, and then you do toning and all that. So that is very important. Because at that time, you are accumulating fat and you are losing muscles. Once you're 40 years and above, you start losing muscles. So once you're 40 years and above, you have to do a lot of protein to help build muscle, and also do a lot of exercises to build muscle. And you build muscle by lifting things. So just lift it according to whatever your capacity. But lift is more important than even the running and the walking. Yes, at that particular stage. Then the financial care, make preparations ahead. But I've seen a lot in whole jade, people go through a whole lot of, actually, when your children are going to school, there's a lot of pressure. So you should make a lot of preparation ahead, health insurance. Then you start also thinking about will. Not that you're going to die now, but it's good that you start thinking about some of those things. And then, of course, power of attorney. Especially for those that are already 60 years and above, you should start, even 50 years and above, you should start. I'm not saying that God will not give you long life, but it's just always good to just have those things, you know, by the side. Then skincare. Once you are 40, your shine, in fact, from 35, your shine begins to go down naturally. That's just it. So before, if anyone that you don't use to cream your body, that your body will produce naturally, even if you don't cream your body at a young age, your body will provide the shine for itself. But by the time you're beginning to get to 30, 35, the shine begins to go down. So you need to now try to optimize the shine. So you need good facial wash. To wash. So at that time, it's not only a meal, it's only soap I used to wash my face. No, that's not the time that I can now start considering. Well, if you have money when you're younger, it's good. But if you are someone that don't give in to that, but then you're becoming 40 and above, you start using a typical facial wash to wash your face. Get a good moisturizer. Those that have collagen to help strengthen your skin and make it tight, especially for female. And when you're getting moisturizer, there are two types of moisturizer. There is body moisturizer and there is the one for face. Please don't use body cream to cream your face. Yes, there are two different things. The body cream are usually heavy. So that's why, and they're usually cosmogenic. So don't use body cream. No, someone just use cream, you rub your body and then you, no. is the body creams are not made for the face. So the ones that are made for the face are lighter. They open the pores and all that. So get a good moisturizer. Then because of this climate change thing, like I told you, the ozone layer is fading off. Everybody needs a sunscreen. Sincerely. So you should get a... But if with younger ones, you can still cope. But for those 40 years and above, please, sunscreen is a must. You are going out, put a sunscreen on. Because the ozone layer is actually fading away gradually. And then, you see, I wrote there face towels. Don't use your body towel to clean your face. So you must have a separate, even generally, you should have a separate towel for your face that is different from the one you use to clean your body. And you change your face towel 2 to 3 days. When you are using it for 2 or 3 days, you change it. You pick another. It's not those tiny small ones. Just to clean your face. Or better still, if you cannot cope like that, don't clean your face at all. Allow the water to dry off itself. But don't use your body. Imagine, you know that towel, that was also used to clean your leg. They now take it again, then you clean, wipe your face. And you, some people don't wash their towels every week. Towels should be washed weekly. Imagine some people keep it for 1 month and then you'll be using it to, not say you have pimples. How will you not have pimples now? You understand? So please, so then also foot care. So foot care, your for older people, your feet are very important. In fact, in whole day, one of the things I find most debilitating is when people become immobile. So it's something you must believe God for, that in whole day you will walk well, that your bones will be strong, your feet will be beautiful. There are things that we must keep confessing, that in whole day I will not be bedridden, I will not be reading on a chair, I will walk. Imagine when Moses was going to go, he climbed a mountain. He was still able to do what? Climb a mountain at that age. I want to be strong that way. So one of the things you must also start investing in is good comfort shoes. So when you want to buy shoes, when you're 40 years and above, check the inside. Do they have foam inside? All these add, when you are young, you can still wear all those things. All these add soles. You might not be able to cope with them when you're getting 40 years and above. So you go for rubber soles that they're not add on the floor. So that when you stand for a long time, it doesn't put a lot of pressure, you know, on your feet. Then, of course, you should stay fit and keep moving. Many times when we grow old, when we grow older, we're more comfortable. We have cars. We have people doing things for you. You eat. You want to die. Daddy, Pastor Mark, be they feel they're helping you. They're not helping you. They're killing you. Make sure that you keep moving. As in little things, just make sure that you are moving, you are doing things. Because the more you get older, you have people around you, you have all the comfort of life. So we stop moving. So when you stop moving, before you know it, your strength in the legs are reducing. So you keep moving, we keep moving. Then, like I said, obesity is a risk factor for arthritis. So please, if you are, and it is good enough, our brothers, they like backside. So if you are a sister, you have backside, please note, in old age, it is a risk factor. So you must make sure that you walk. You know, I'm going to be very sincere with you. You must make sure that you work on yourself to keep yourself fit, that you're not too big under. Because it puts a lot of pressure on the legs. Sincerely, put a lot of pressure. Just like if you're also very busty, it puts a lot of pressure on your back. So you must make sure that you are doing a lot of exercise to strengthen your back muscles. So there's spiritual needs. As you are growing old, I know that you don't know if you are in church, and I must say this. As you are growing old, you know that the youths, you see the youths, that the one in choir, that the one in hush, they're the one running around. One thing you must decide in your heart as you are growing old is that you will not allow all these young people to kick you out. You must stay relevant in your pursuit of God. Don't say, oh, Kalalongwa, I know. God is in the heart. We pursue God with that. But you must also stay active in church service. So sometimes when you are in a unit, after a while, you have young people, you just kick yourself. They kick you out, or sometimes you excuse yourself. No, it is always good. Even when you are, don't say, we are now old and I have children. You now excuse yourself from your unit. You're no longer in sanctuary. You're no longer cleaning church. No, all those things are supposed to, they help you also to stay alert. Yes, it's always good that I like churches when you have both youth and older people. They balance each other. The youth ones will stir up your fire. You, as the other one, you bring stability to them. So like Caleb. Caleb was very otidagbani. He was saying, give me the mountain. He said, give me that mountain. Just like the day he received the commandment. Even in his old, he was saying, give me that mountain. That is how we must be. That we are still very active in our service in the house of the Lord. Even when we are going on, and we have more young people coming in into our units, then of course need to be at peace with them. Then also I believe that because we're now having older people, we also need to begin to have specific programs to meet the needs of the older people. Just like we have singles meeting, we have youth meeting, we might have for older people, because they have also their specific needs. Some of them need to be taught financial literacy, investment, how to, you know, certain things. Then the social, their own social needs might be a little bit different from older. So, you know, Orthodox churches, they also have those units. You see them, I know my parents, they have their own units, and I see that help them a lot. So I think it's something, even, but you know, as we have that, we must start catering for their needs as well. So they did a research. They're trying to look at what makes people live long scientifically. So after taking away alcohol and cigarettes and all that, so they looked at all these things, and they found out that the factor that played the most important role, look at them, social integration and what? Close relationships. So what does that mean? They found out that people that are socially integrated, maybe have like a community in which they are active, all those things that I described in the church, you are active, you are all that. They found out they live longer than people that are usually isolated, that live, like to go and I like my space, I like my things, I like my family, me and my family. They found out that they lived longer than people that had close relationships. Then that social integration is also the way they describe. You said outside the country, maybe you have somebody in the morning that knocks on your door and say, "Oh, Mr. John, how are you doing?" Somebody knocks on the door, you have people visiting you, you understand all those things, that they find out that such people, they lived longer than people that were kind of socially, what, isolated. Then having close relationships, like I described. So I want to tell you, those are things, scientifically, this has been proven. So as we go older, you will find out that some of your friends, you lose them, the social whatever begins to narrow down, it begins to shrink. But we have to now put a whole lot of investment. As believers, even in the church, we invest in more of the people around us that we see every Sunday. They now become our family friends that you can share together. In fact, let me say something. If you want to build houses in the same area. When I'm 80 years old, I want to see my brethren. If I cannot run the way I used to run before, I want to be able to walk down the next street and come and say hello to you. So even when we are building, we should build together. We should start thinking of our old age. Because most of all these children, they will go. I see them now, most parents are lonely. But if we have ourselves, we are enough for ourselves. Yes, we are enough for ourselves. We build around and they go, we still just, you gist, you laugh, you do all those things. It's very sweet, sincerely. Then also, I want to talk about building. When we are building now, so, okay, we should enlighten the church about the first commandment we promise, culture of honoring the elderly ones, giving them public presence, even public gifts, elderly-friendly environment. I want to talk about this. When you want to build, don't think about now. Think about buildings that are friendly. So, I tell people, now, if you want to build houses, duplex, don't put all your rooms up. Build a room down that you can retire in, that has a room, that has a closet, that has a kitchen, something enclosed. So think about the future. As in, think about friendly houses. Friendly houses that when you grow old, you can divide. If it is too big, you can easily divide and put one side for people for rent that you can stay within, that you can. I've seen patients that their house is so big. When I got there, they can't even clean the house. Mansion. And I got them, I'm like, what are you using? They did not know. They had just had money. They just built it big, massive. They can't even maintain it. So you must think about the future, about aging, when all the children are gone. But I just want us to think about our older age. So we build houses that are very friendly. You know, the bedroom, the way we construct it. You know, there are some fanciful bedrooms now, but they're not good for old age. So you build them, they are friendly, I call them age-friendly houses. So you put those structures in them so that they don't put too much strain on your leg. You don't have to climb too much. You don't have, things are within your reach. You know, God will give us wisdom. And God will equip us with the skills to live a healthy life.
Thank you, sir. My question is on, is it possible for all these things that she mentioned? I think I want to ask a question on abs. For example, now, for someone like my dad, he believes all these things. He doesn't have to cut it down. if he's taking all these herbs, like they're going to sort and settle everything. And he just encourages children to also take, you know, herbs almost every time. If you tell him you have headache, he has these herbs for it. And so I wanted to ask, like, what's our opinion on people taking herbs?
Good afternoon. Okay, so I have two questions. The first is banana bread good? Banana bread. Then also, plantain. Is there any issue with eating too much plantain?
Praise the Lord. The question is, how long can we keep food items in a fridge or freezer? Like myself, the question is not basically for me, but the way I see things among the young folks. Because of what it has reason for keeping all these things. But I knew there are certain disadvantages over this issue because of keeping it for money's sake or whatever. So maybe they have an idea about that.
Good afternoon, ma. Thank you for that session. So my question is from the area of self-prescribing and from the angle of taking supplements. So does your explanation around self-medication also impact supplements? Because I remember you also mentioned diagnosis is presently very expensive. So are there maybe general supplements that one can buy, or you have to still go through the route of?
Thank you, Danny. So if you are still going to be awake and active at night, is it still okay to eat?
So I don't think herbs can be used for everything. So let me give you... So I know that there are certain roots and leaves that are actually healthy. In fact, some of the medications we use, they are taken from some of these leaves, you know, and roots. But the only difference is that one issue I have is the issue of quantity. So, like, how do we... So we know that, okay, if you have headache and you want to... You are an adult, you take two tablets of paracetamol. So I know that people use ginger. Is it ginger and honey for headache now? Or lemon? I know people use that for headache. But how do you know the quantity you are supposed to take? So that's one of the major setbacks with herbs. We don't really know the scientific dosage that you're supposed to... And remember that all these things, they're also metabolized by your liver. So if you are taking them, and then some of the herbs also, so there can be an active ingredient that is actually very good, but they might also have a toxic waste, which it is still the liver that would have to eliminate them. So if you don't know the quantity, you keep loading the GI people. They don't believe in herbs because they've seen a lot of people's liver shut down from herbs. Really, yes. You take a particular herb and your liver, you might have had hepatitis. And that's another thing, Pastor, that you must even start doing now, screening for hepatitis. You have another hepatitis that have compromised your liver over time. And then you now start taking herbs. And then it worsens, you know, the function. So that's the problem with herbs. Not that herbs don't work. So for something like that, if you take ginger and honey, it works for sore throat at times if it is not infected. So it can work, but what's the quantity we are supposed to take? And then what's the state of your liver? Can your liver actually undo those things? So those are some of the... So many of the tablets that we use, you see that they have taken them through scientific processes to know, like, it's the minimum that your body... maximum that your body can undo. So sort of they're within a therapeutic index, an index of safety. So that's the problem with, with herbs. So the same thing with kidneys too. Maybe you have a kidney that is, you don't even know that it has a problem. It's just because you've seen patients like that, that kidneys were just working suboptimally and they were fine. All of a sudden, they say you have fibroid. Come and take one herbs. If you take it, you will pull the fibroid. And this, not knowing that the kidneys were just suboptimal and they were just doing fine. So they're not optimal. They were just suboptimal, but you're still able to cope. Yes. Then all of a sudden, you start taking these herbs and the whole kidney start having issues. By the time they did scan, they now found out that, oh, there had been some
abnormally with the kidney, even right from time, but you were able to cope with them. But now putting this pressure of these abs on it, that the kidney now has to maybe excrete or something. So you understand? So that's the problem with herbs. In fact, so it's not as if inherently that they are wrong, but it's just the issue of quantity, then the toxic elements associated with them. Can your body really handle it? So those are some of the issues with all these things. Then for the issue of plantain is actually rich in potassium, and it is good. It helps to lower blood pressure. But everything should be taken immoderately. Yes. Okay, yes, the herbs, that you don't believe in cutting down anything because the body is going to... That is not true. Herbs don't take care of everything. If you load... If you are predisposed to having diabetes and you keep loading yourself with things that keep stimulating your pancreas and putting it under whatever, use all the herbs in this world, you will still come down with that thing. So it's not good if you know that there are things, okay, you are taking too much and you feel that helps you suck away the oil in your system. No, that's not going to work, sincerely. That's just deception. So that kind of person might be doing some other things, maybe some other healthy thing. Maybe he's, I remember somebody telling me that there's a man that is above 80, but he takes ice cream every day. Yes, but let me pass on. Know what the person does. The person has a mining company, so they climb mountain. So once he takes it, he goes to that mountain every day. So that sugar, you know, that sugar is converted to energy. He has already, but sometimes I said, that, see, I'm 18 years, I take ice cream, I mean, did nothing happen. Did he tell you the other things he's doing? So you understand? So not that I said, it's not that the person is taking and nothing, the person is actually burning. Really burning that, and he has maintained that lifestyle even before he started taking that ice cream at whole day. He had maintained that lifestyle of climbing that place regularly. So already his heart is already in a very, yes. So just as somebody that just says on, I said, don't eat this. I mean, if they're already healthy before, you might not really put so much restriction when they're 80. But you that are just 30 something, you're supposed to build a good capacity. LD capacity at this particular age. So for the plantain pressing, so everything should be done in moderation. So then this plantain that you are eating, how are you eating it? Are you boiling it? Are you frying it? Or you are grilling it? So if it is frying, remember that when you are frying, that you are taking more oil. Yes. You are taking more oil because plantain is sweeter when you use plenty oil to fry it. But if it is pan fry or roast, you don't take too much oil. But I know that most people don't do that one. Are you air frying it? If you are air frying it, it is fine. But if you are frying plantain with vegetable oil and you are consuming it on a daily basis, you are loading yourself with oil. So everything needs to be done what? In moderation. It's not as if I say, oh, don't take all these things. But just like I said, ask yourself, what I'm eating, is it bread and water that the Lord can bless? So just make sure, not like we read that scriptures too. We don't eat just because of our taste bud. We eat for strength. Things that will give strength to our bodies. Is this thing going to be healthy for me? That should be the first word, motivation. Then for the supplements. So I tell people, you don't need supplements if you are eating well. So for example, many of the supplements, what are the things there? There's usually more of the trace elements and some of the multivitamins. So for example, if you are taking vegetables and fruits, most of all the vitamins, they are already there. You are taking vegetables, all these, and the way you cook them. You know, I tell people, you don't overcook vegetables. Once you know this one that you pour, this way we are going, they will pour hot water, and then you cover it, everything has gone. You just sharp you are eating. You're supposed to cook. It's the last minute you pour your vegetable and you turn off the light and you allow whatever you're using to heat, to steam it, then everything is what? Intact. So if you're eating vegetables and fruits, most of all these supplements that you are taking, they're actually inside it. Folic acid is inside green and leafy vegetables. If you're taking fruits, most of the vitamins are already there. You're taking banana, potassium is there. Many of all these things, zinc, they're already inside all this. The reason why people, many times when they say people should take supplements is because Like the name implies, supplement. You are supplementing something that is not adequate. So if you are taking what you're supposed to, then your dietary requirements of fruits and vegetables, sincerely, I tell you, you don't need supplements. So, for example, in my clinic, older people, you know that people like supplements. I discourage them a lot from taking supplements. Because when making some of these supplements too, they have some binding agents that they use that sometimes are not very too good, depending on the companies that are making them. So I tell you, I said the best thing to provide all these multivitamins for you is going natural. Eating fruits, eating vegetables, making it a regular thing, then all the supplements that you like need are already in there. And even these natural ones are better than the artificially composed ones. But of course, if you cannot get those things from your diet, we will still say that you should take them from the supplement. But really, the best is to have them from the natural diet than using them like tablets. So there are so many school of thoughts about freezer. So for example, for perishable fruits, like people don't advise that for fruits and of course vegetables, that they should stay in the freezer for long. They feel that once it stays there for a long time, that most of the nutrients are already gone. What you're just eating is just the shaft. And there also been a whole lot of issue about even some of our poultries, and food that are cooked. If I want, most of the major concern is what you use to store them, the containers that we use in storing some of these food, even in the freezer. That has also brought a lot of contention recently. And you see that there's been a lot of motion about using BPA-free plastics. I'm not sure if all these ones in Nigeria, if they are really truly BPA-free. Because they feel that by the time you store them and you put them in the freezer, some of those things enter into our food. But really, I had always known, and I thought that freshly made food are actually better than stored food, but might not be practicable, you know, for everyone, sincerely. So, but there are some that things like vegetables and fruit, as much as possible, shouldn't be stored for too long. But of course, things like fish, even the fish that we eat, most of them, they are already iced for years before bringing them. But really, Pastor, that's why I used to say that when God blesses us, one of the things that we would also be able to do is that we also be able to eat healthier. So you can eat fresh. You can eat fresh meals prepared on a daily basis. Maybe because you have the resources, you have both the human and the financial resources to, you know, to do that. Then also, I also want to say, the pastor, I forgot to say, that we also need to start believing God. We need brethren that will also invest in healthy meals. People that will do such businesses, preparing healthy meals, that will be your selling point. That, okay, I make stew. My own stew is not because people are making stew. My stew is made from LD. I use LD tomatoes. I use LD oil. Maybe you use olive oil. And the amount of oil you are putting in there, the amount of, it's not over salted. It's not over processed. You know, the way you boil, you know, people boil pepper. The way they boil the pepper, there's nothing left in that pepper. All the nutrients, they have, in fact, you see the face, the thing has already become brownish. They have overboiled it, so they want to store it in the freezer. But you know, that would be, so I'm really believing God that God will equip some of our brethren also to start looking into this area of LD cooking, LD feeding, and even agric, in even poultry, raising, doing LD foods and all that. It's one of the things I'm really believing God for, that, you know, in our community, that we have people that God would empower to really do that. And people that even go into nitty-gritty of feeding, like this thing that Daddy just raised, really studying and know how long should we keep stew in a fridge that we still retain it. Because all those things are scientific, that people will go into there and they will study it, they will let us know. And those information would help us to be able to, you know, like adjust our lifestyle to fit, you know, some of these things. So, like I said, I don't want to give just a straightforward answer. So you say, okay, I eat at night, then I walk. But I hope that if you eat at night and you walk, you still have enough window. So let me give you an example. You eat 3 a.m. in the night because you are walking, and then by 8 a.m. you are taking breakfast again. That is not healthy, because your system has not had, you should have a window of heating. So people will say it's within a window of maybe 6 to 8 hours, 8 hours window. You eat within 8 hours, and then you allow your system to rest for the remaining, you know, hours. Longer. Your system should rest more than the hours you eat. So just factor that in. So if you factor that in, that might help. I don't just want to give you a response that, oh, don't, because you are working, don't eat. So if you do that, maybe your last meal, you took your last meal at 3 a.m., then that means that you have to wait for another 16 hours before you take your next meal. Yeah. So that you allow your system to... So since Salem said something, everybody should have a eating window. You should know within which window I want to be eating. I want to be eating between 10 and 6 every day. Or I want to be eating between 11 and 7 every day. Or I want to be eating between 12 and 8 every day. The most important thing is for you to have an eating window. And then you have a long stretch of hours where your system has, you know, the grace to rest, and your insulin is not working and working and working over and over again. I hope that is clear.
We believe you have been enlightened through the ministry of the Word and Spirit, bringing you into a much deeper understanding of God's eternal purpose and plan. To find out more about us and our meetings, visit us at 12 Akinyemi Street off Allen Road, Ikeja, Lagos. You can also contact us on our website at www.lovesyouchurch.org or call us on +234 9042 850714. Remain blessed.